Gemara Brachas Daf Hei says as follows: Amar Rav Zeira v'item Rav Chanina Bar Papa. There's a few different Gemaras that have this style where it compares the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Midas Basav Adam, the Midah of Hashem to the Midah of a human being. And the Gemara there says, Amar Rav Zeira v'item Rav Chanina Bar Papa, Bore, come and see, Shalom ki Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Basav Adam. The Midah, the way, the characteristic, the midos of Hashem are different than the midah, than the way of the human being. So, give us an example. Give us a key example. Other mocher chefetz lachavero. A person sells something, a chefetz, an object to his friend. Mocher atzev v'lokeach sameach. The mocher is sad, and the lokeach is happy. We're talking about a case where the person needs money, needs cash. You have a watch, it's your chassan watch, but you need the cash, so you're not happy to sell it. But you have to sell it, you get the money. So mocher etzev lokeach, but the lokeach is happy, he gets a good deal. So the lokeach is happy with the new object, with the new chefetz. The mocher is sad. Atzvas lemocher, simcha to the lokeach. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu ain't okay, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like this at all. Hashem gives the Torah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a sense, I guess he's like a mocher. I'm about to figure out how he's a mocher.
Well, something precious.
Okay, something precious to him. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Torah to Yisrael, to Klal Yisrael, and he's happy. The mocher gives the chefetz to the buyer, and he's sad. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives the Torah to Yisrael, and he's happy. Shenemar, this wonderful gift, this wonderful lekach, this wonderful buy that I give to you. Torasi al tazov, my Torah you shall not leave. My Torah you shall not leave. So all the mafarshim ask the same question on this Gemara. Let's just go over the Gemara again. A person sells something to someone else, he's sad. Reuven sells something to Shimon, Reuven is sad because he had to let go of what something that he was precious to him. So the Baruch Hu, although the Torah is precious to him, when he gives it over to Yisrael, he's happy. He's happy. So he's a mocher that's happy. That's what the Gemara says. And of course, a pasuk, Gilekach Tov, even though it's a good buy, it's a good mitziah, it's a good lekach, Nosat Elchem, I give it to you, Torasi Al Tazov. But Ben Yoyada asks as follows, Makshim, Ein HaNimshal Doma LaMashal. He doesn't like the comparison in the Gemara. Ki amocher otzav or etzev mipnei she'achshav yotza hachefetz miyodo. The reason why the mocher is sad when he sells his watch is because after he sells his watch, it's no longer his. It's not his anymore. V'chaser meito, and it's not a part of him. Ma'ashenken ha'Torah avish nasa nasa li'Yisrael, even though he gives it over to Klal Yisrael. Lo yotze miyado, it's still his. Elo odenu etzlo kimadlik ner miner she'en harishon chaser klum. It's like if you have a candle and you light another candle from the first candle, you haven't lost anything. You just have two candles now. When I saw this line from the Ben Yoyada, it reminded me of something that the Hafla writes. The Hafla was Rav Pinchas Halevi Horowitz. He was a great Gaon who was the Rebbe of the Pnei Yehoshua. He was a very big person living in... he had the famous brother Rav Shmelka. The Rebbe Rav Shmelka and the Rebbe Rav Pinchas, he wasn't a Rebbe, he was the Rav, and Rav Shmelka was the Chassidish Rebbe. So the Hafla writes as follows. We know there's a concept called Yisachar Zvulun. What's Yisachar Zvulun? Yisachar learns, and Zvulun pays his salary, I guess, or he gives him money so that he'd be able to live. So there's a big shaila in the poskim exactly how that works. How does that work? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he writes in the Choveres Am HaTorah many, many, many years ago, probably going back 50, 60 years, he writes a piece where he writes that when someone creates a Yisachar Zvulun relationship, the way it works is as follows. The person who is the Zvulun has to give 50% of his salary to the Yisachar. A person makes $200,000 a year, $100,000 has to go to the Yisachar. the Yisachar has a certain amount of schar that he gets from Limud HaTorah, but Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. Half of the schar goes to the Zevulun. It's a chatzi-chatzi relationship. Chatzi-chatzi, half and half. That's how Rav Moshe learns it. If you want to support someone in learning, or support a yeshiva in learning, so it's very nice, but it's not literally as if you opened up your mouth and learned Torah. Unless you create a Yisachar Zevulun relationship, which is 50-50. Not too many 50-50s around. Maybe none.
You can't buy 25.
What?
You can't buy 25% of the...
Most people can't buy 10%. Maybe less, 5% when they do this.
5%. But we get 50%
square. That's what I'm saying. Ramaji says it doesn't work like that. 50% in, 50%
out. Can you put 5% in and get 5% out?
That's right. Rav Moshe says that's not Yisachar Zevulun. That's something else. You get schar for a tomchei haTorah. There's different levels of the mitzvah, but in terms of the mitzvah, it's as if Yisachar actually did the learning. It's as if Zevulun actually did the learning. Then it has to be a real chatzi chatzi relationship. That's Rav Moshe's mahalach. And so I want to show you something that the Haflah writes. The Haflah and the Hakdama. The Hakdamas. Jay and I were talking about one day spending a few months just doing Hakdamas. The Pnei Yeshua. There's a lot of famous Hagdamas. You learn a lot from the Hagdamas about their lives. Sometimes you'll have a Sefer that writes the Shev Shmaitza, for instance. If you read from Shmaitza Aleph, from Chelika, from his first piece, the seventh piece, you know, it's all lumdus. Eid Echad Nem Bisurim Chazok is Sveikis. You don't know that the person did any. You don't know he learned. And then you read the Hagdama, it's flowery, it's beautiful, it's poetic, it's Agarata, it's very important. So sometimes it's often important to read the Hagdamas as well. It's in the Hakdama to the Haflah. The Haflah, I want to show it to you inside. The Haflah writes, when I was giving Shirim on Yisachar Zevulun, we found this Haflah. And it's very beautiful. He writes as follows. V'yesh min ha-sovrim, shekonim min tamidi chachamim chelek mi toroso g'derech shar masu matan. There are those who hold, Rav Moshe is one of them, there are those who hold, that when one supports someone learning, he buys from the Talmud Chacham part of his Torah, like it's a business deal. It's a business deal. Umnam chalila michashov kein. God forbid that we should think that this is the way it works. Would any Talmud Chacham in his right mind sell even a moment of Torah that's more chashov than all of Olam Haba? So it could be that you can argue with that. Yes, because they have to eat. And I mean, kemach ein Torah. And plus, if you don't support me in learning, then I'm not going to be able to do the learning. So maybe it was worth, you know, otherwise you're not going to have anything. So, but that's what the Safa says, it's not the way it works. Ella, ha'inyin hu, shekol echa mikabel scharo mishulam. Each one receives the full schar of the learning. A person gives, however much he gives for the Yisachar, for the learner to be able to support himself. So he's living in Eretz Yisrael. How much is he in Eretz Yisrael? You give him $60,000 a year, $70,000 a year. The person is making $300,000 a year. It's not chatzi chatzi. He gets not 50% of his Torah. He gets 100% of his Torah. And he gives the mashal kamosha amru hamashal miner shemadlik mimenu ve'ein mechaser olokain hamachzikim notum schar meyaz Hashem v'shemayim ve'einam nogim chas v'shal v'chel kol shatamidei chachamim. It's full. You get the full schar if you support the person learning. You get the full schar ner miner ner le'echad ner le'man. Nothing is taken away from the first person's candle by the fact that you lit the second person's candle. Now you have two candles. That's how the flaw writes.
So why by Hanukkah can't you light from the Hanukkah candle?
That's a good question. That's a very good question.
And is there any like other mitzvahs where it's a mitzvah that you actually say something and someone else can get schar? Like I know Sfiras Omer.
There's things called. This is a little bit different. I don't know if it's as if you said the words. You get the schar for the learning. You get the schar for the learning. They say over that the Tomchei Torah are going to go up to Shemayim and they're going to know Kol HaTorah Kula. And they're going to be like, I never learned this. Because yeah, you did. You learned all of this. But it's not easy to... I think they tell the story, I heard this many years ago, about Reb Chaim Volozhin. I must have said this over a few times in the Shiurim over the years. Reb Chaim Volozhin, can you imagine Reb Chaim, the star Talmud, the Talmud Muvikov, the Vilna Gaon, was going around collecting for the yeshiva, the Volozhin yeshiva. And he stops off by some yid, who is somewhat of a wealthy person, and he's trying to collect, and he says, "Listen, Chaim, listen, how much money do you need for the whole year for the whole yeshiva?" He the whole year, for the whole yeshiva, put it in dollars. He goes, $50,000. He says, $50,000, listen, I'm going to try to collect some of that from the people that I know, from around. I want you not to schlep around and go from farm to farm, from door to door. It's embarrassing for a Rosh Hashiva like you to be able to do that. Just stay here. He stays here for a week, 2 weeks. He comes back 2 weeks later. He goes, how you doing? He goes, I already raised $25,000. $25, that's amazing. I'm going to go and collect the rest. He goes, no. Stay another week or two, and I think I can raise the whole thing. So he stays another week or two. A month later, he comes back. I raised the whole thing. He goes, you raised the whole thing. I want to thank the people. He goes, no, I'm giving the whole thing. Because you're giving the whole thing. Why don't you just give it right away? He goes, it took me 2 weeks to convince myself to give the first 25. It took me another 2 weeks to get, to overcome the desire to keep the money, to give the other 50. But he says it's Minel. So they tell the story. The story goes that that this person passed away. Reb Chaim Volozhin, years later, is learning a Mishnah. He's having a difficult time learning a Mishnah. He falls asleep on his Mishnayos. Even Reb Chaim Volozhin can fall asleep on their Mishnayos. And this Jew who supported the yeshiva learning comes to him and teaches him the Mishnah. That's the lore. That's the story.
But if you're doing, let's say, someone's visiting people in hospitals, if you're supporting that person, that person's really a shliach, and you get...
I'm not familiar with Yisachar Zvulun working outside of Liman HaTorah. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with it. You probably get the schar of Bikur Cholam on some level, of being Tomich, but it's not as if you did the...
Is it like you're a shliach?
I'm not sure. But I think that this relationship exists specifically with Liman HaTorah. I just wanted to point out, the Ben Yoyoda writes, what does it mean that Hashem gives over... He says, again... The mocher is upset, is sad because he gave over the watch, he lost the watch. But Hashem doesn't give; he gives over the Torah, but he holds on to the Torah. Matter of fact, the Tanya writes as follows. Tanya in Perek Dalos is a very beautiful line. We often think, it's very important to remember this, we often think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, and what we have down here is a watered-down version of a very holy, holy, holy book. You know, the Torah is something that exists in the highest heavens. It's Hashem's Chochma. It's Olamos HaOlyonim. Every single letter represents very deep, deep, deep secrets. And it trickled down after, thousands and millions and billions of gradations till it comes down to this world. And we have, we have Shor Shanoga Chesapara, and we have, two people are fighting, and then we have a mitzvah of tzitzis, but that's not what it is up there. So the Tanya says it's not correct at all. It's not a word of that version at all. And he compares it to someone that hugs the king. If you're hugging the king, if you have a chance of ever hugging the king, does it really matter if you hug him when he is wearing a t-shirt and a sport jacket, as opposed to hugging him when he is wearing a winter coat because it's cold outside? Sof kol sof, you're hugging the same king. It's just, I hugged him better because... Why? Because he was wearing less layers? It's more layers, but it's exactly the same Torah. That's what he says. In number three, it's like one hugging the king, Derek Marshall. It doesn't matter how close you are to the king in that hug. Whether it's the winter or the summer. The fact is that the melech is inside. So it's true that if we were learning Torah in that level of sodos, it would be like hugging the king with one garment, as opposed to hugging the king with three garments, but sof kol sof, it's the same king. Does it matter if the king grabs your hand or he grabs your shirt? He's grabbing you. If the king holds on to you, he's holding you. So that's the mashal that the Tanya gives. So the Ben Yoyoda wants to know, sof kol sof, the Torah, it's still by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It didn't leave him. So how can you compare the mocher who sells a watch to HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gives the Torah? So I think many of you might be thinking of the answer already. And the answer is, lo b'shamayim hi. Ksos HaKadosh, we're talking about HaKdamas. Well, listen to the Ben Yoyoda first, then we'll talk about the Ksos HaKadosh. He writes, number five, Chashivas, Yatzas miyado kavayachom mishum dekamelo lo b'shamayim hi. We pass from lo b'shamayim. The machok is whether we can pass from like a baskel. We hold lo b'shamayim hi. Kasher cholka Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Yeshua Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yatzas baskel v'yom alachik Rabbi Lozer. We all know the story. We've discussed this story when Rabbi Lozer stood up on his in the base medrash and he said a baskel, you know, should come out and say that the halacha is like me, and the baskel comes out, whatever that baskel sounded like, the baskel comes out and says, halacha gravalaza b'chol makom. So Rabbi Yeshua was unimpressed. Then he says, what are you bringing rayas from Nisim and from carob trees and from all these things? We pass in lo b'shamayim hi. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, raglov, amar lo b'shamayim hi. So that's what the Ksos writes to answer our Gemara. If you look at the Ksos in the Hadama, one of the most fascinating stories in the Gemara is the story of Rabba Bar Nachmeni, Rabba, our Rabba. When he's called on to Paskin Shaila, do you know the story? He's called to Paskin Shaila. There's a machlokas. The Gemara says, you can't imagine a greater machlokas than this. The machlokas in the Masifta de Rakia. What's the Masifta de Rakia? I don't know. I've never been there. But it's the heavenly Beis Medrash. And they're having a machlokas. What's the machlokas about? The halacha is as follows. Something called saras. What's saras? Saras is that a person develops a white blotch on his hand. He has a white blotch. He brings it to the Kohen. The Kohen says, yeah, that's a white blotch. It's a nega. He is not tame yet. He's not tame. On the white blotch, if he develops one of the simanei tumah, then he becomes tumah and he has to leave the camp. One of the simanei tumah on the white blotch is called a ser lavan. So again, a person develops a white blotch on his hand, it's about the size of a bean. He goes to the Kohen says, okay, we gotta put you away for a week. Come back, we're gonna check you out in a week. You're not out of the camp, you're in quarantine, you're in a house somewhere, you know, in a separate room, you're locked up. Some say you don't even have to be locked up, but we come back in a week. It just means we're going to come back. We come back in a week, and we notice that two white hairs have grown inside the white blotch. Two white hairs have grown in. What does the white blotch look like? It's snow white, or it's wool white, you know, like a sheep wool white. And he says, "Yep, okay, we got two white hairs. You are tame ata, out of the camp. He has to leave the three camps outside Yerushalayim, outside all the walled cities in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael as well." The Mitzara has to be thrown out. Listen to what happens. The halacha is, I was thinking about this for many, many years. I'm still thinking about it tonight. And that's as follows. The halacha is, if you have a white blotch and two hairs develop out of the white blotch, the halacha is that you're tameh. If you have two white hairs and the white blotch grows in the white hairs that are already there, you're tar. So that's what the lashon is of the Mishnayis. The baheres.
Do that again.
If you have a white blotch, that's called the baheres. The white blotch. If you have the baheres, it's called the nega. If you have the nega on your skin, and then out of the nega develops the two white hairs, then you're tame. If you have two white hairs that are growing on regular colored skin, and then you wake up, the Kohen says, "Yeah, we don't. It's two white hairs, but we don't have the nega. We don't have the background. We don't have the white blotch. We don't have." And then the next day he said, oh, we got the white blotch, you're tahar. Why? Because the Gemara says, the Darshan from Sukkim, the Baheres has to be kodma l'seir lavan. The Baheres has to be there before the white hairs, as opposed to the white hairs being there before the Baheres. That's what the Gemara says. So there's the Shaila comes up. It's bothered me again, I told you for many, many years. Maybe we'll come up with something together. The Shaila came up, what if it's a suffix? What if we're not sure if the Baheres was there before the Seir Lavan or after the Seir Lavan? You hear the question? If it was there before, then it's Tame. If it was there after, then it's Tahar. Suffix, we're not sure what to do. So is a suffix Tahar or suffix Tame? So of course you get into Sveka Daraisa and Cheskas Isser and Cheskas Tahara without the details. So the Masifta de Rakia comes along and it says, we paskin Tame. If you're not sure if the Baheres came before the Seir Lavan or after the Seir Lavan, the Masifta de Rakia paskins Tame.
Why wouldn't you say that he should continue to be the way he was?
Should have been tahar.
Right.
He was tahar before. That's what I was saying. It relates to Cheskas Tahara. At the same time, there's a Reus, so he does have two white hairs growing out of his that are not normal. So that's it's a chazaka that's been tainted a little bit because we see there's normal? Some problem. What was it?
What do you mean not normal?
White hairs.
Yeah, but I mean, you and me are over 40. I mean, we all have white
hair. I know. So if you wasn't there before, you have these two white hairs. It's true. In the middle of your skin, they're a little bit bigger than the rest of your hair. It's strange. A little bit of a reyusa. Maybe not. It gets into the whole chazaka, cheskasusa, cheskatahara shailu. Fine.
Not great.
If you want to take a look at the end of the perek, at the end of perek dalid, if you would like, at the end of perek dalid, in Negayim is where this discussion takes place. The Mishnah Rishona, or the Mishnah Achrona, has all this discussion. What I want to know is this: the Gemara says the machlokas down here. This one says tahar. This one says tamid of Yeshua. Everybody gets involved. Mesifta the Rakia is trying. They're having Mesifta the Rakia passes that it's tameh. We're not sure if it's tameh. Listen to this. There's such a big rash from the Mesifta the Rakia about what the halacha is. They send the shaila up. So what's brought down? They send the shaila up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Gemara says they send the shaila up to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu paskins tahar. The machlokas, the Mesifta the Rakia, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, down here, they're getting word about what's going up in heaven, and they're saying, what are you bothering us for? Lo bashamayimi. Say, yeah, but the Rabbanu Shalom, we're not talking about like a bas kol. Well, the Rabbanu Shalom, what do you want to be? What? This is not, the Rabbanu Shalom said, you know, tahar. We're not impressed. Not impressed, you know, this is, Hashem already gave the Torah. He can say whatever he wants. Now the interesting thing is, the Rambam paskins against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam, not surprised. The Rambam paskins Sofik Tameh.
Cheeseburger.
They call up Rabbi Bar Nachmani. They say we have to. Rabbi Bar Nachmani has to paskin the Shaila. He's going to be the one to paskin the Shaila. Thank God he paskin like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam goes against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pray about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This entire story is rooted in the concept of Loba Shemayim. It's an amazing thing. Hashem himself says X, and the people down here are like, listen, Loba Shemayim.
That's a
kind of Loba Shemayim. Hashem gave us the Torah to develop the halacha based on what we understand, and it doesn't even matter if it's the MS or not. It doesn't even matter if it's the MS. We know what Hashem said, it's got to be true. It doesn't matter. We have to pass on the shalah based on how we understand it. And if we understand it like this, then that's going to be the halacha. It's an incredible thing. Different levels of emes. There's like the story with Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nassim. Rabbi Nassim and Rabbi Nachman, they didn't know each other for too many years, but Rabbi Nassim became the Talmud Luvak of Rabbi Nachman, Gebrezel. And Rabbi Nassim goes to Rabbi Nachman, and he asks him, he says, listen, he was offered a position as the Rav of a certain kehila. He wants to know whether he should take it. So the Rabbi Nachman says he thinks that he should take it. It's a good position. He'll go. He'll help the kehila. He'll help it grow. He'll give people chizuk. So Rabbi Nosson said to him, "Is that the MS?" Can you imagine? You ask a rebbe something, and then you say to him, "Okay, I hear you, psak. Is that the MS?" So he thinks about it for 15 minutes. He opens up his eyes. He goes, "Yeah, that's the MS." As if there was a shot of whether that was the MS or not. So Rabbi Nosson says, "You know, if I go, I'm not going to be able to be by you. So maybe it's not a good. Is it the emes lamito to go? I know it's the emes to go. Is it the emes lamito?" He thought about it for 15 minutes. He says, "No, the emes lamito is that you shouldn't go."
What's the emes lamito?
Is it the truth of the truth?
Absolute truth.
This truth, and then this truth. This truth, and this truth. So you have to figure that out. Huh. You can have two of mahalchim, and they could both be correct. Eilu ve'eilu dirilakim chaim. That's not something that's foreign to us. But here we have Hashem paskining one way, the people paskining another way, and the Rambam goes against Hashem. That's what it means. That's how the Ksos HaChoshen explains. That's what it means. We ask the question, when someone sells a watch, it's no longer his. When Hashem gives the Torah, so it's still his. And if you hug it, the answer is, on some level, he almost relinquished, in a certain level, he almost relinquished the right to how the Torah is going to be developed and based on the human being and the human mind and Chazal, that's going to determine the development of the Torah. And therefore, on some level, he did let go. So that's how the Ksos makes the comparison in the Gemara. You hear the question? A person sells something, it's gone, it's out of his hand. But Hashem sells something, it's still in his hand. The answer is no, it's not in his hand. It's not completely in his hand. It's gone on some level. My Shiloh, the thing that I was working on for many years, is which I'm still working on, is, why how is this machloket, this issue, beheres kadma l'ser lavan, or ser lavan kadma, whether the blotch is before the hairs or after the hairs? Why? How did that become the discussion that is the paramount, you know, point where we find out the aspect of Lobash Shemayim? The same way we wanted to know, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus is arguing with all the Chachamim. And why is he arguing? Fine, there's a big machlokas. But why the Tanur Shel Achnoi? How does that? What was the machlokas? It wasn't just about some oven made out of cheres. There had to have been some deep discussion, deep machlokas that was going on there. So what's the deep machlokas here about whether a suffolk, whether the blotch becomes, is there first or we're not sure? Why is that the discussion of Bashamayimi or Lo Bashamayimi? You hear the question? Why is this the discussion? It's not just coincidence. It could have been a million machlokesim. It turns out that this discussion, whether the Baharis is there first or last, is the discussion of where we're going to develop, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could say one thing, and people are going to say something else, and it's going to, how come that's the machlokes? Do you hear my question? You have a mahalach?
I have a different question.
Okay.
It's Lo Bashamayimi.
Yeah.
Why does Mitzvah Rakiya, why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu work on these problems at all? Let them ask us what's the halacha,
right?
Because we got the final say.
They did. They called it Rabbi Bar Nachmani. They called him up. They said, he's going to be Machmir.
So but why ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu? He doesn't have any standing. He doesn't have standing.
Curiosity.
What do you got?
I was wondering.
Was it an email?
What's
or
the what's the method here that they use?
Twitter? Rabbi, could it have something maybe to do with Lashon Hara?
What do you mean?
I mean, with the Baharis. Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm just trying to figure out myself. So, Lashon Hara.
Right. Some relationship. You guys said about Lo Bashamayim, why did they ask upstairs? I remember hearing a maisa many, many years ago that went as follows. There was a Jew who was a landlord, and he had some tenants who were Jewish. And the tenants weren't able to pay, and they weren't paying for a month, 2 months, 6 months. So finally, he comes and goes, "Listen, it's been 6 months. You have to pay. I mean, you can't go like this forever." He said, "Listen, give me 6 more months. Parnassus is difficult. I was unable to put it together. We had it, then we needed wood to keep the house warm. We need to pay the deductibles. 6 months, we'll have it. 6 months later, he doesn't have it." And he comes back and goes, "Listen, I don't know what to tell you. I can rent the apartment to someone else, you know." So he says, I had it in my pocket. There were doctor bills, and we had to pay, and there was just nothing I can do. And then the non-Jewish, you know, pirates came, and he was going to kill us if we didn't pay him. So I have no more money. Give me a break. He goes, "Listen, I have some. It's a year. I'll give you another 3 months." 3 months later, it's about February, March time, you know, whatever that is. And he comes back, goes, "Listen, I told you 3 months. No one in the world would do what I do, and you're asking me for more because I had it. I couldn't. I had the job. I got fired." So the story goes that he threw him out of the apartment. Well, you have a lot to throw him out, right? No, and what is he supposed to do? Threw him out of the apartment, and then they didn't have a place to live. They're living in some hut. They got sick. The husband died. It was a bad situation, a very bad situation. So the story goes that this landlord eventually passes away. He goes up to Shemayim, and he was a very good guy. And they bring up, however it works, the story goes that they bring up the scales, and they start to. They start to bring in all the mice and tov and the mitzvahs and the Torah and the whole thing and the tzedakah, and he's very, very excited. And he's thinking to himself, "I'm going to get like a really good place. This is going to be really, really special." Let me tell you a little bit of a hagdama that this story was being told by the Tzemach Tzedek. There was a fire in Lubavitch, and a lot of the huts, a lot of the homes, and the Beis Medrash got burnt down. So when they built up a new Beis Medrash, it was a beautiful, beautiful Beis Medrash, the Lubavitch Chassidim came from all over the place. There were hundreds, maybe thousands of people in the shul. And the Tzemach Tzedek, imagine before he comes out in his kittel, and he comes out, and he tells the Olam, there's a thousand people, he tells the Olam, "Listen, you have an option. I can either tell you a mimer or a maisa." Now, you should know that a mimer, in our community, when we give a mimer, it's 45 minutes. You go over 45 minutes, they start throwing the tomatoes. By Lubavitch, at least in the olden days, when you give a mimer, it was 7 hours. 8 hours. And you know, the Rebbe Rashab used to go for 7, 9, 8, 9 hours. You know, it doesn't stop. You know, you see the Ma'amarim that he has. You know, it's like, you know, 50, 60 pages. Anyway, so someone says, a Maisa, give us a Maisa. So he says, okay, listen to this Maisa. He starts telling us this Maisa. It's the middle of the Maisa. He says, the person goes up, they bring out the scale, and he's very happy. And then they say, what second? What about that family? And they throw the family on, and they said the husband ended up dying, and the wife got sick, and the kids didn't have a school to go to, they didn't have a place, they were cold, and it tips the scale, and the malachim come, they say he has to do some time in Gehenim. And as he's being pulled out, as he's being pulled to Gehenim, he says, wait, this doesn't make any sense. I give him 15 months rent. I work hard for my money. This doesn't make any sense. These malachim are judging me. They don't know what it is to make a living. Let them come down to Eretz and let them see what's going on. And then we can talk. So they say, you know, they listen to the taina. They say, this is a good taina. We know what to do. So the word goes up. They say, okay. So he goes, well, what do you want? What do you suggest? He goes, I don't know. Let me be judged by my peers. I want to be judged by my peers. He goes, okay. So they bring in some of the great, you know, poskim of the people of the Rabbanim who had died a few generations back, maybe the Shach, the Taz, the Shulchan Aruch were there, and they start listening to the whole side, both sides, and they say, no, he has to do some time in Gehenim. He shouldn't have let them go. Even with 15 months, he has to do a little bit of time in Gehenim. So as he's being pulled to the fire, the story goes that he starts to scream. He goes, this doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. You guys have been up here for so long, you forgot what it is to make a living. I want to be judged by people who are my peers now. That's what he says. So the Tzemach Tzedek leans over to the thousands of people in the shul, and he says, "Nu chevra, is he innocent or is he guilty?" So the story goes that one yid takes a, you know, a bottle of schnapps, and he stands up and he says, "Innocent," you know, and they all get up, "Innocent, innocent." And the Tzemach Tzedek says, "Right now we're passing this shaila, keshem sheposke bevezin shalmata kach pos majamala, and he's innocent, he doesn't have to go to Gehenim." That's the story. So lo bashamayim, even that's lo bashamayim, if you believe the story. I'm saying, if you hold from the story, it's lo bashamayim.
Even that's the lo bashamayim.
This guy would have been to Gehenim. Right, anyway, right. If we would have said Maimon, it would have
been he would have spent 8 hours in Gehenim.
That's where is this story?
This story would be in
the
where is it? In which
Mara? Yeah, we'll see. Take a look. On page 2, Kvahera Haram Drashos of Drush Shvi, Bamash Abu Peraka Sokra Sapolim. That's easy. Rabbi Havi Yosef Aguzi, the Club of Kagari Shama, the Kamfalgi, the Mesif, the Rakim, the Harris Kodmos, the Olav and Tomei, the Sail Olav and Kabaris Dara, Suffolk. What if it's a Suffolk? What if it's a Suffolk? What comes first? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Tar, and the Mesif, the Rakia says Tomei. So it's a machlokas, the Kadosh Baruch and the Masifta, the Rakia. So they say, Manochach, who's going to paskin? Who's going to be Machriya? So Rabbi Bar Nachmani, who Yachid Ba'alos, Yachid Ba'alos in the Goyim, he's the man. So they call upon him to paskin, he paskins that it the halach is tar. So again, I'm thinking, what's the mach? What? Why is this the discussion? Why is this the discussion? Lo Bashemayim, why is that the discussion? Anybody, the Beharis? So this is, this is a thought. It's a thought. You have a simen tumma. Simen tumma means that this is the factor that's going to send the person out of the camp. The baharis represents the background, that which the simen tumma comes out of. If the simen tumma comes not out of the bad or negative background, then it's okay. You're not dumb. If you have people are always going to do things that are wrong, we're always going to be. There's no person that doesn't sin. There's no person that doesn't have sin money. We have a sin and tumma. People have things that are that they grow out of us. They grow out of us. We make mistakes. Whatever sin money tumma. But when the core is negative, then the sin and tumma comes out of that. There's no, you can't. The person is in big trouble. If the core is good, if the background is okay. Background's okay. And the simani tumma coming out of a good background, of a healthy place, then you're okay. If the background is negative, is a nega, and the simani tumma come out of that, there's no way then you have to be sent there. You need serious work. Serious therapy. And almost is a psychological vart, if you think about it. If the background is difficult, then you need to do serious work. If the core is okay, but the simani tumma coming out of something that's healthy, know, that's okay. You know, if that's normal. You know, as long as if it's a suffix, so that's the machlokas. The suffix, if you're not sure what the background was, or it was half good, it wasn't good, the background stunk. If the upbringing was terrible, the person has a big problem. If the upbringing was good, people are going to make mistakes, but he's going to be okay. If the upbringing is in the middle, then we have, then that's this. Can this kind of person be helped? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it can be helped. And we pass him like that. We pass him, there's definitely hope. If the background is terrible, it's a much bigger problem. That's not Torah. Then a person has to be sent out of the camp in a much more serious type of work. It's my thought. That's not where we're going. That was just a thought of why Dafka, that's the place. But I always wanted to point out this Gemara and this Ksost to explain the Gemara that asks, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't let go ner l'ner. So the Ksos HaKoshin says, no, he does let go. Lo b'shemayim, and we can paskin against him. It's unbelievable. Step one. Adam.
So, a different mahala.
Yeah.
Not so much with Beharit, but the fact that you need the Kohen to proclaim the status.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that in itself is like Lo b'shemayim.
No, but I'm saying, but why is the machlokas Mesifta Derakia and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Lo b'shemayim?
But HaKadosh Baruch Hu already brought it down, saying you, the Kohen, has to distinguish.
Why is this Beharis Kodim or not? I'm trying to zero in on why it's Kodim or not Kodim. Why that's the discussion? It's almost like saying, I'll tell you what I really think it is that Lobash, if I have the license to Darshan, the Lobashamayim he is, you hear it? Lobashamayim is, don't worry about the background. Lo b'shamayim. The background is b'shamayim. You were born into a certain situation. You had a certain background, a certain experiences that you had growing up, whatever it was. So we pass on lo b'shamayim. You can change that too. That's so what you're saying about the Kohen is a general thought on negoyim and why it's about negoyim. Right. That's true. I'm just trying to say why it's dafka about this case. We talk about a mocher. Mocher. What does the word mocher mean? What's a mocher?
A seller.
But
just a bit of a marshal, when Hashem gives it to Hashem, doesn't do mitzvahs. Hashem doesn't have to,
The Gemara says Hashem does every mitzvah. We're going to actually have a whole shiur on what that means. So again, obviously, it doesn't mean that's a good question. Modani lefanecha, melech chai v'kayom, right? Shechazarta bi nishmasi b'chemla. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Shechazarta bi nishmasi b'chemla. You've given back returned my soul with compassion. Rabba emuna secha. What does that mean?
You read the sentence. You divided the sentence.
No, that's the way you're supposed to divide it.
Oh, yeah.
I think so. Rabba emunasecha. What does that mean? Rabba emunasecha. Great is your faith. Who's emuna? Who's yours? Hashem's emuna. Who's he having emuna in? Same question. I'm just asking you a question again. What's the answer?
Hashem
is emunah enough. That's what it is. We get up in the morning, the first thing we say to Hashem, I believe that you have emunah in me. Now Hashem's not davening to me or to us. He's not davening to you. But the point is that there's somewhat of a dual relationship. So, just like it says, we wear tefillin, it says in our tefillin how great Hashem is, and it says in Hashem's tefillin, it's something else, how great we are. Right? Let's look at a pasuk. Yeah.
When you have a shaila about which came first,
you're
actually arguing about a metzias.
Okay, it's a suffix. It's a suffix. We don't know.
We don't know.
Every suffix is a metzias.
No,
every suffix.
No.
Why?
No, absolutely not.
Why not?
Because everybody's molded that if the hair came first, he'd be Tahar. Everybody's motive that if the Beharis came first, he'd be Tahar.
Right.
The question is, which came first? So that's a factual question.
Right.
You ask me what the facts are in the situation.
Good, excellent. Should know something. Some of the Sfarim say that's why Rabbi Bar Nachmani, when he said Tahar, he was saying Tahar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Tahar because by HaKadosh Baruch Hu there's no Safek.
Exactly.
Right, right. But by us, it's Tameh. Ram says we're not a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so we don't have
exactly.
The fact.
So,
we have the Paschim Tameh.
To argue over Metzias doesn't make any sense.
No, it actually works out well. It actually works out well. By
you
a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but now we understand the Machlokas. A Kodesh Baruch Hu says, from my perspective, the way I see things, it's Tahar. Because I know that there's no Safek. I see where it is.
Exactly.
Right, but we can say Tameh. Right, okay, so that's the Eilu Ve'eil. That's the different perspectives. You're right. But by us, it is a Safek. By us, we don't know. So we don't know what the Metzias is. We have
to. Really
but I'm saying, let's say you do not know the facts. So that becomes a machlokas. If you want to get into the halachic details, you have to get into chazokat meikara, cheskas iser, cheskas tuma, cheskas tahara. Right, okay. And you have
but these are facts to know. I mean, if you had a 24-hour camera, you can certainly know the situation, what came first. So we're arguing, really, not on the halacha, we're arguing on the metzias.
But now that we don't know what it is, we have to paskin based on chazokah, based on rov, based on... Right, so you're right.
No, no,
you're
right.
But that's why it doesn't help to say Kodesh Baruch Hu says it's Tahar. Because, okay, so he knows in this instance that it's Tahar, but that doesn't help us.
Right,
going
so
forward.
The Rambam Paskin's tummy. Rambam Paskin's tummy.
What is he based on?
Huh?
How does he come up with
so,
tummy?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. The end of Perek Dalet, in Nigoyim, he gets into the whole halachic, you know, pratim, which is important to, we can do that too. You know? I don't think we want to do that at 10:45 at night. You know, details of Nigoyim, but, you know. Let's look at the
your question really is why every suffix doesn't go upstairs.
Why by Kodesh Baruch Hu it's suffix. By Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's why the Gemara Rabbi Gamliel says by Kodesh Baruch Hu there's no Ben Hashmashos. There's no Ben Hashmashos by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Mahi, you know, the Shabbos is Aser, the Filne'u L'Acharez Mutter, and we have a Ben Hashmashos. You're right.
But why'd they ask God at all?
That's what David was asking. Someone was there, right? Why bring it up? Right, the doctor.
Anyway.
Right.
Right. That was right.
You said
that was
right.
Why didn't they ask Eliyahu? Whenever we have a suffix, we say, we'll wait till. Why didn't they just go and ask Eliyahu?
Listen.
I don't know. Piggybacking on the KFM.
I want to share something very special with you.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. I want to share something very special about the concept of a mocher. It's very, very important. It's a big chiddush. Reb Chaim Shulevitz, tremendous chiddush. Let's go slow. We have a few more minutes. Let's go slow. Pasuk in Mishpatim says as follows. V'chi yigof shor ish es shoreyehu v'meis. If Reuven's ox gores Shimon's ox and kills Shimon's ox, that's what we call Karen. Okay. The halacha is Karen, Tam, first time, Chayv, how much? Chatzi Nezek. So the Pasuk says, what do you do? Umachrus Ashara Chayv Chatzwis Kaspo Vagamas Amesi Echatzun. You sell the live ox, and you split its money, and the dead ox, you also split its money. Let's just go through that again. Reuven's ox is worth $200, Shimon's ox is worth $200. Reuven gores Shimon's ox, it dies, the carcass is worth $100. Okay. I sell the $200 ox, I get $200 in cash. I sell the $100 carcass, I get $100 in cash. How much do I have?
$150 each.
$300, I get $150 each. Why $150 each? Because my damage to Shimon, Reuven's damage to Shimon was $100. Because he went from a $200 live ox to a $100 carcass, Nevelu. So I have $100 damage. Mm-hmm. So he gets $100, that's the carcass. He gets $50, that's half the damage. And I pay $50, I pay $50. That's what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara explains based on Mefarish Apostle. The Mishnah says in Baba Kama Lama Gimel as follows. Let's say you have an ox that's worth $100. That gores an ox that's worth $200. Reuven's ox is worth $100. It gores Shimon's ox, which is worth $200. Ein halavela yofa klum. The navela is worth zippo. How much did I damage? How much did Reuven damage Shimon? $200. So how much does Reuven owe to Shimon? $100. How much is his ox worth? $100. So what do you do? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, no, it's a lesser short. Give him the ox. $100. Give him the ox. The Gemara says, Masis and Mari Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah, the author of that Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva, the Tanya. Yusham Hashor Bebezdin. Div Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Omer Huchlat Hashor. Rabbi Shmuel says that Shimon doesn't take the ox. He takes the money. He doesn't take the ox. He takes the money. So, what does it mean? So what does it mean? Machu es hashor hachai. It means you evaluate the ox in Beis Din. It's a little complicated. In 30 seconds, it could be clear. As follows. Reuven only has to pay 50% up to the worth of my ox. Let's say my ox is worth $20. I don't pay him $100. I pay him $20. Salach. You pay 50% of the damage, but not more than the ox that my damaging ox is worth. Ein mishtalim ela megufo shel shor. So they have to evaluate the ox in Beis Din. If the ox is worth $100, then you give him $100. But you don't give him the ox. You give him the $100. And Rabbi Akiva says, Huchlat Hashor. No. What happens is, you give him the ox. Not just the value, and you give him the ox. It turns out that the Machlokas, if you go back to the Psukim, the Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, how to learn that Pasuk is as follows. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the word Umachru es Hashor does not mean that you sell the ox. You don't have to sell the ox. What you have to do is you have to evaluate the ox to see how much it's worth. And then, based on that, you're going to pay him half, but not more than what the ox is worth. So, umachru means to evaluate. There is a sefer, I brought the cover, a Sharblat, called Ani Asocha. It's a fascinating find. On page 10, where he lights as follows.
What's the difference?
I'm going to show you. There's nafkaminas, but I'm going to show you in a second. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Akiva understands that the moment Reuven's ox gores Shimon's ox, Reuven and Shimon become partners in Reuven's ox. There's an immediate partnership that the Torah creates. And Rabbi Shmuel understands that when Reuven's ox gores Shimon's ox, that Reuven's ox, Reuven doesn't become a partner, which Shimon doesn't become a partner with Reuven, he becomes a creditor of Reuven. He owes him money. So if he's a partner, so that means if Reuven wants to sell the ox, I can sell it as long as I pay him the $100. According to the second opinion, he's my partner. I can't do anything without his permission. So there's nafkaminas between how you understand the nature of how you have to pay up this half in Nezek. And now, the Ani Asocha was written by a businessman, and he writes in his Hagdama, in the Sharblat, he writes, I'm writing the Sefer, I'm calling the name of my Sefer, it's on Masechta Baba Kama. I'm calling the Sefer Ani Asocha, since my whole life I was a businessman in Augusto, and that is where I built my Sefer. So since I'm a businessman, and I was in this particular city, and I was often, you know, he's traveling apparently, so he calls it Ani Asocha. By Balabas, a businessman, very deep Sefer. He writes as follows. If you understand that the ox doesn't have to be sold, it's just an evaluation. So why does it say the term umachru? Machru is the wrong term. It should say vishamu. Vishamu would mean they evaluate the ox. You don't have to sell the ox. All you do is you go to Beis Din. Beis Din says, listen, you owe him $100. Your ox is worth 80. You don't have to pay more than 80. Your ox is worth 150. Well, then you do have to pay him 100. Because you don't pay more than what the ox is worth, but you pay half the damage up to what the ox is worth. You never have to sell the ox. You don't have to give him the ox. You don't have to sell the ox. It's all an evaluation process to know how much you have to pay him. So in this Sefer, he explains very beautifully. It's a whole beautiful eye-opener on how to understand the concept of Mechira, where he says as follows, V'nireh, the Rabbi Shmuel Mefarish HaLoshon Mechira, in this context, Mechira does not mean sell. You know what Mechira means? Mechira is from Loshon HaKara, to be Nikar. What does Mechira mean? Mechira means to sell. When a person sells something, so he has to evaluate what it is that it's worth, what it is that he's selling, in order to give a price to what it is. Any business, you have to evaluate the diamonds, you have to evaluate the product. Mechira hu miloshen hakora miloshen ki ben ki abkor ben asnua yakir dahenu sheyakirenu. You have to recognize. You have to evaluate. You have to give a stamp. You have to figure out what's the. You have to value what it is that that you're selling. So that's why he says the kol mechira nasai de shuma. Every sale first it has to have a price tag. You go into a store. There's always a price tag on something. If you get the California pistachio nuts, it's $4.99. You get the Turkish ones, it's $6.99. You get the jalapeno, it's $7.99. They're evaluated. There's a little more work that goes into it. More chashuv. I was thinking to get pistachio nuts tomorrow for Shabbos. That's why I was thinking about those. But anyway, you hear the lashon that mechir is hakara, to evaluate. That is what mechir is. He's not just saying it means evaluate. He said, no, that's what the word mechir means. That's what the word mechir means. So on this point, they say the following idea, last week's parsha. How was Yaakov's acquisition of the Bechorah valid? It should not have been valid. Why? It's a clear mekachtos. Why is it a mekachtos? Because the Bechorah is worth much, much more. Much, much more than any price tag. Certainly much more than what? Than a bowl of lentil soup. Halitani no min adam adam azeh. By the way, the Talmud Rebbe asks, halitani no. What does no mean?
Please.
This is Esav we're talking about. He comes to his father who has such respect for him. What does he say? Yakum avi. And when the Rashi points out, you see Yaakov talks all gently and sensitively, and Esav talks tough. So when he's talking to his younger brother, halitani no. So the Talmud Rebbe says, no doesn't mean please, no means raw.
It was in the daf today.
That he says that halitani no means raw?
Yeah, we had it in the daf today.
That no means raw?
Yeah.
Al-tochlu mimenu? No. She says, Esav is just saying, give it to me raw, I don't care. By the way, the raya is that lentils, when they're cooked, they become white. They don't remain red. So this, why is it adam? Because it was raw. Halitani no min adam adam azeh. It's red, it's a raya that it's raw. We're not talking about lentil soup now, but what we are talking about is that how was it that he was able to sell it for so little for a bowl of soup? It's a mekachtos. You can't. You can go back to the seller and say, "What's your?" So what's the answer?
He was dying.
That's
what it says.
Okay. Still, so you go to the court. You say, "I was dying." $1 billion, you would get your money. You would get most of it back.
He doesn't get the Bukhara.
Oh, how did he value the Bukhara?
Vayives.
From the Lashon of Vayives, he valued the Bukhara as being worth a bowl of soup. So because he values it a bowl of soup, what does he do? Vayim Koras Bukhara Sala Yaakov. It was his valuation of the Bukhara to Yaakov. His Mechira was a Hakara. That's it. That was his. If I say, listen, this is worth $1 to me. I know what I'm doing. This is worth $1 to me. I don't need more than that. Then that's it. If a person said clear, this is what it's worth to me, then that's what it's worth. To someone else, it might be worth millions of dollars. For me, I know what I'm saying. This is the hakara that I have of this particular mechira.
What was it worth to him anyway? He knew maybe he had the same foresight that everybody else around him had it, and he knew that he was going to be the second. That he was going to be down on the bottom anyway.
Not necessarily. He could have married Leah. He could have been the father of Shvatin.
Not if you foresaw the future.
You're not allowed to do that. Foresaw the future. Oh, man.
Everybody seems to be foreseeing the future.
No. You know the future because you're 2,000 or 3,000 years later.
Yes, right.
That's what we said.
He had
a hard job. He was, when his mother was walking past the base of Avodah Zarah, he was definitely pushing to get out. So his job was that he had a personality that was drawn towards things that were very bad. A lot of people are drawn towards things that are bad. Some people are drawn towards things that are good. He had a different type of job than Yaakov. It wasn't. You can't say that he was predestined to be a Rasha. Mm-hmm. He definitely had a disposition for that. Okay, so that's a different.
Even if you see that something's bad is going to come, you still have to go through with it. What was
that? Ayim Nachman Rachamim, yeah.
What was the Navi that saw that from him was going to become
right,
a Rasha?
Right, right. Right. Yeah, Yishayahu and Chizkiyahu, yeah. Chizkiyahu and Yishayahu, yeah, Menashe. So listen to the Mishnah Brura. This is such a... It's scary almost, but you have to read it. It's the Mishnah Brura. It's not a fancy... It's just... It's an everyday sefer, right? We always read the Mishnah Brura. Look what he says. Heid al Gaon, Marenu Reb Zalman Av Bezin of Hamburg. Shepamachas Holoch Lebeis Hakanas. One time he went to the shul. Ma'utaf Petalos of Tfilin Kedarko. He would walk to his shul. We don't do this anymore, but in Eretz Yisrael, I'm sure they still do it in certain places. You don't put on your tefillin in shul, you put on your tefillin outside of shul, then you walk into shul, you put on your tefillin in your house. So Talos and tefillin is on his way to shul. And he met a guy who was going to give him a great deal on some diamonds. And he says, come with me to my house, I'll give you a great deal. It's going to be a tremendous profit for you. The Hagon Heshivlo and the Gon of Hamburg says to him, he wanted to make a good, a good profit. Wait here, right after David, I'm going to come. Heshivlo Sheyavdin Ashiyav Mesekanas says, wait here till you get out of the shul, till you leave shul. But Tochach, however, during that time, in that hour, Machron, he saw them Lacher. Vacher Hivich Mem Kama Alofim. And the other guy made a lot of bucks from it, a lot of money. So what is the Rav of Hamburg thinking? Oh man, I had it and I lost it. I could have retired on that. You can learn your whole life. It says Samach Hagaon Simcha Gedola. The Gaon had a tremendous simcha. Shehishlech mineged mamorav avur tefilas tzibur. For tefilah b'tzibur, he was willing to throw away an enormous amount of money. So the Mishnah Berurah says, how do we value our mitzvahs? And the Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says as follows. How could it be, we know the Psukim say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays back Rishayim in this world. Befrach Rishayim kamo esav yatsitzikop olay oven. He gives them schar in this world. You see Rishayim, they have everything. Everything you can imagine from this world. They have the money, they have the houses, the cars, the women, the whole thing. It's flying. And we're sitting there going, I just want to make a little living, you know? This guy's a Russian, so clear, is it the whole thing? So the Pesukim say, no. He's getting his schar here. He's not going to get anything upstairs. He's getting his schar here. So we start thinking to ourselves, okay, maybe I can trade in one mitzvah, you know? Trade in one, let's have someone who's trading one mitzvah. So he said, you can't. You know why you can't? Because the world is not big enough for the schar that comes for one mitzvah. The world is not big enough. It's not large enough to contain the schar for one mitzvah. It's like going onto a bus and giving the person $100 bill. And the nahag says, you got to get off. And you say, what do I mean? He has a dollar. I have $100. Yeah, but I don't have the change. You just can't fit it. But if you value it in such a way that it's worth very little, then Hashem says, it's an amazing thing. We value the schar for the mitzvahs, and that's the schar for the mitzvahs. That's a little scary. That's lo b'shamayimi on a serious level. The schar for the mitzvahs are going to be valued based on the value that we put on the mitzvah. If we're willing to do a mitzvah and say, so what? So I lost money. It's true, I lost money. I could have invested. But because of that, I put on tefillin, I daven with a minyan. Because of that, I gave tzedakah. Because of the money that I didn't invest to make the big money, I gave it to an ani. And because of that, I didn't buy the 20 shares of Apple that, now I could... But now with money I can give now to the aniim, that's always the... So he says that's not the way it works. So Chaim Shmulevitz says, we value the hakara, the shuma, the value that we put on the mitzvah, that is the schar for the mitzvah. That's the hakara. The mocher, the mechira, the hakara. Zek siv shemeshalm schar avur maseh matovim ba'olam hazeh. You do ha'sheila, he asks. Eich efshal l'shalom emam hazeh. How can you pay back the Russian olam hazeh? How can you pay the Russian olam hazeh? Hare schar mitzvah haya al malekah. By the way, when they quote the Sichas Musar, when the later Sfarim, Sifrei Musar, quote the Sichas Musar, they say, it's a davar mavhil. It's a frightening concept. Frightening to imagine that we could, like the Vilna Gaon was crying on his deathbed, and they asked him, "What are you crying for?" I mean, it's like people, "What are you crying for?" You know what's waiting for you. He goes, "What are you talking about?" And he pulls out his tzitzis and he says, we can see the Shechina because of the tzitzis. This doesn't exist in Olam Haba. The mitzvahs exist down here. There is no mitzvahs in Olam Haba. That's the oneg, the Shechina, the whole whatever, the Ziv HaShechina. But the Shechina itself, that's this hugging the king happens here. He's crying. How we value things is a very, very important yisod. And that's a very big musr. How we value things. The Sifrei Musar of the last, 10, 20 years talk about this. During davening, do we value the davening more than the joke, or more than the conversation, or more than the phone call? We have to be careful. We have to try to. The more we value it, the more it not just the more it seems to be worth, the more it actually is going to be. The more it actually is going to be worth. Okay. Good. Yashar koach.
Mara, anybody? Yeah.